Let's go just a bit and talk about standard of care, SOC. We use this terminology sometimes, and we say that the standard of care is what the reasonable and average doctor would have done in a particular case. So very often, the standard of care is not set in advance, it's set retroactively. And how is it set? It's set by an expert witness testifying in court saying what this doctor did was reasonable, average. He did what the regular, reasonable, and average doctor would have done. He upheld the standard of care. So it's established that way. Over the past 8 or 10 years, there have been several attempts by the chiropractic profession to establish a written, documentary-type standard of care, saying we're going to create a book that would consider every possible situation, and then we're going to establish what the proper thing to do would be in every possible situation, and we will have a standard of care document that will tell us when you should have taken an ADP and lateral x-ray, when you should have taken flexion extensions, you know, depending on the type of injury that is there. We'll have every situation covered, and we'll have the answer to that situation covered, so we'll have a cookbook, basically, that tells us what to do and when to do it. The most notable standard of care document was created in the early 90s. It's called the MERCY document. And I'm sure you've heard of the MERCY document. The MERCY conference was held at the MERCY Center in California, the hospital healthcare place in Northern California. And out of that conference came a document called the MERCY document. That MERCY document purports to be a standard of care document for the whole chiropractic profession. But it was created by a group of people with a particular approach to chiropractic in mind, and that approach is the very medical, diagnostic, and treatment-oriented chiropractic that we associate with the broad-scope practitioners in our field. So when this document was published, it created a set of rules and regulations and a standard that by a large portion of the chiropractic profession was felt to be way too medical and very, very diagnostic oriented and just too out of our intent. Many people did not agree with this document and said it was just too diagnostic and too medical. So there was a sort of a reactionary conference about a year and a half after the MERCY conference document came out. There was sort of the conservative side of our profession decided they better get on the ball here and create a standard of care too. Otherwise, they're going to have the MERCY document shoved down their throats as the only standard. So in Arizona, a group of chiropractors met and created the Wyndham document. They met at the Wyndham Hotel in Phoenix and created the Wyndham document. Now this document created a standard of care that was very, very suitable for the narrow scope practitioners of our profession, those who were primarily oriented toward location and correction of vertebral subluxation, not oriented toward the diagnosis and treatment of diseases in any way. And so this became a very straight chiropractic oriented standard of care. Now, when this document came out, a lot of people expected that maybe the profession would embrace this as a more conservative approach to the standard of care issue. But a lot of people felt very, very restricted by this document because it was so straight and so subluxation oriented that chiropractors felt, well, I don't have any latitude to step outside of this in any way, so they didn't like that document too much either. So we had a very broad scope, medically oriented standard of care, the MERCY document. We had a very narrow scope, straight chiropractic oriented document called the Wyndham document, and probably 95% of the chiropractors in the whole profession were somewhere between the two, not at either extreme. Both of those were felt to be extreme documents that didn't satisfy the middle 90% of chiropractors. So there has been lately sort of a third document that has been tossed out by the ICA, International Chiropractic Association, as a practice guide and standard of care that will represent the middle 90% of chiropractors, neither the extreme medical or medically oriented practitioners, nor the extremely subluxation oriented chiropractors. So those somewhere in the middle. None of those documents has been accepted by any large constituencies. We have a couple of state boards and a couple of agencies that have given some credence to the Mercy document, but by and large, the national organizations, the state boards, the groups that have something to say about this have not accepted either one of them as being the actual document that represents the entire chiropractic profession. So we have a little bit of a problem in that we don't have a written standard of care that is widely accepted. You may agree with one or the other, and you may adhere to the practices recommended in one or the other, but we do not have a consensus of opinion about the standard of care in the chiropractic profession. We also have in the chiropractic profession numerous state laws that differ slightly. Some differ a great deal. So you can't have a standard of care that would embrace the Oregon law and at the same time embrace the South Carolina law. In Oregon, chiropractors are allowed to deliver babies, set broken bones, do minor surgery, do gynecological exams, and largely practice diagnosis and treatment, practice medicine, many of us would call it. That represents one extreme. South Carolina is a very narrow scope state. That chiropractors are largely aimed at locating, correcting vertebral subluxations. Those who don't choose the wellness model and the no treatment model choose to treat spine conditions. And so it's still a fairly narrow approach to chiropractic. So we have somewhere between these two extremes a lot of chiropractors. These days, if you're accused of malpractice and you go to court, you're going to have an expert witness testify as to the scope of practice and the standard of care that you are supposed to be working under, and the expert witness has the job of determining whether or not you upheld the standard of care under which you're working. At this point, if you're in one state, it may differ from another state. We don't have a national standard of care that is suitable, that has been accepted by everybody in the chiropractic profession. We just don't have it. So standard of care is somewhat variable and depends on the situation. It's still very situational. And so in court, you will have one expert saying probably, this person upheld the standard of care, and you'll have another expert witness saying, no, he didn't, and here's where he fell down. And so it's kind of a battle of expert witnesses. A malpractice trial is one expert witness saying, yes, he was fine, and others saying, no, he wasn't, and we have a conflict, and the jury then decides based on which expert witness tells the best story, and which expert witness is most convincing, and which expert witness gives the most credible layout of what the chiropractor should have done and whether or not he did it. So we have that. So all of that is sort of background in the malpractice area. In order to be found guilty of malpractice, you must have all four of those areas of the formula falling into place. You must fall below the standard of care. That negligence situation, it must be shown that you fall below the standard of care for you to be found guilty of malpractice. And we'll stop right there.